Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in former Tennessee Titans offensive lineman Zach Piller. Zach, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to join us. So, Zach, I wanted to start with, you know, we've talked a lot on the show about this Titans team and the excitement level from the fan base and how maybe this is as excited for a season as a fan base has been since the early 2000s. Take us back kind of to that time. What do you remember about this team, this city, in terms of the excitement level to have football here in Nashville and what that environment was like at that time at what was called Adelphia Coliseum?
Wow, that was a long time ago. But super exciting. Obviously, I was drafted in the 99 class, which was the first year of the Titans, you know, officially the Tennessee Titans. And Nashville's changed completely. I mean, it was a small town, and it was an exciting time. Javon Kirsch was the first-round pick. You know, and we had a lot of great leaders with Steve McNair and Eddie George and Bruce Matthews, Frank Wycheck, Randall Godfrey. I mean, you could keep going. And Lane Bishop. I mean, that team was, there was a bunch of guys that had transitioned from Houston and then to Memphis and Vanderbilt. And it was just great to finally have a place to call home, which was Adelphia. And the fans were incredible. I mean, it was a college atmosphere in a pro stadium, and that was super cool. And obviously we gave them – I know we were undefeated that season, and, you know, we had the best home field in the league, and it just gave us it gave us a big-time edge for sure.
Yeah, and you followed along closely since then, Zach. Obviously this is a – potentially a really good team. It's been a good team for a few years now. It hasn't quite come back, you know, in the stands. Obviously, you can take last year out of the equation. But now fans are coming back this year. What do you think about – what's your sense, first of all, for just the excitement in the city for this team? And do you think they can get it back to that kind of atmosphere that you had as a player?
You know, I think this year's team, I mean, you know, COVID's been a really hard situation for everyone around the world, in this country, in the state, schools, all the above. I think that we got an exciting team, you know. I think that Tannehill's great. Obviously, King Henry is awesome. I think we've really improved on our defense, which is what we needed to do. Vrabel is as good a coach as there is in the NFL. We lost Arthur Smith, obviously, to the Falcons, who was a great offensive coordinator. But there should be a lot of excitement. You know, Julio Jones coming in, you know, is going to be big for us as long as he stays healthy. You know, points should be able to be scored. And, you know, we need our defense to, you know, pressure the quarterback and do what you're supposed to do. You know, it's a long season. It's a tough schedule. You know, you kind of have to take it, at least how we used to take it, is you kind of take it in four quarters. So, you know, well, I guess it's 17 games now. So we would take the first four games and see where you're at, obviously one game at a time. But you want to start off hot. You know, you want to be at least 2-2, 3-1, you know, and at least, you know, make the second four in your schedule have purpose, and then you just kind of take it, you know, it's a grind. So you got to have a, you know, you're kind of relieved when you win, and obviously you're crushed when you lose. You know, Frank Wycheck and I always used to say we were never happy when we made a good play. We were just relieved that we didn't make a bad one.
So Zach Piller, former
Titans. That's sort of the
pressure. Lyman on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sorry, Zach. I was just going to ask you, you brought up Frank Wycheck there, and obviously that core of that 99, 2000, 2001 Titans team where there was just so many good memories here at Adelphia Coliseum and with the Titans. What do you remember about that group specifically in terms of when you're first breaking into the league, the immediate success that you have in your first year? Obviously another 13-3 season, your second year in the league as well. What was it like to come into the league with a team that was that well prepared and that equipped to make some deep runs?
Well, you just realize that, you know, you're not, you just have to be a professional, you know? I mean, you just really have to, you got to get on board or you're done. So, you know, that's what you had to do. And you had a lot of great leaders. And, you know, when your best players are your best leaders, that makes a huge difference. You know, Eddie George was as hard a worker, you know, on and off the field as there was. And, you know, at the end of the day, you don't want to let the other people on either side of you in the locker room down. And you don't want to let your coaches down. I mean, it's just all about accountability and being a professional and making sure that if something happens, if somebody goes down, if you got to fill in, if you got to play, or, you know, if you're a starter, that you're accountable and the guys are counting on you and you have to step up and you got to produce, you know, you got to produce. And there was a lot of pressure. There's always a lot of pressure, but, you know, it's so much fun to win and it's so much fun when games count and when you get later in the year and you can look at the standings and, you know, at the end of the day, you're in it to win. You're not in it to, you know, play close games and make money. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, that happens, you know. You're in the NFL, you're going to make money. But at the end of the day, we're all in it to try to win championships. And, you know, it's crazier. The older I get, the more I literally sit around and I'm like, damn, what would have happened if we would have won the Super Bowl? You know, we were so close. And it's weird how I have friends that have won Super Bowls, you know, over the course of time. And I don't know, they have a little bit more swag to them than, you know, just the ultimate goal. I mean, could you imagine? So, I mean, I remember sitting around talking to Steve, you know, all the time when we would have disappointing losses in the playoffs. And, you know, I would really have to, like, talk to him and be like, dude, we're going to get one. You're coming back, you know, because it just, you pour your heart and soul into something, and then it's so heartbreaking when it's over, because, you know, once you hit the playoffs, and I know that's a long ways off from right now, but once you hit those playoffs, you know, you expect to win the Super Bowl. You know, you're in the show. So then when it's like, oh, my gosh, it's over, I'm never going to see, you know, these 53 guys again. It's going to be a whole new roster. I'm not going to have these relationships. And so it gets really depressing. But at the end of the day, this year's Titan team is going to go, you know, confidence is huge. Keith Bullock used to have something in his locker that said, confidence is like money, hard to get and easy to lose. And, I mean, that's the truth. I mean, every team is extremely talented, and it literally a lot of times can come down to, you know, a fumble here, a drop pass, a pass interference. I mean, it comes down to three or four plays a game, and then all of a sudden if those breaks are going your way, you know, then it snowballs in a positive, and then it can also go the other way. You know, all of a sudden you're not catching a couple breaks. Then all of a sudden you lose a couple close games because you haven't learned how to win. So Titans need to start hot, you know, gain the confidence. This week obviously is huge. I mean, we're at home. You want to start off 1-0. I mean, you got a really good opponent coming in with Arizona, and you just need to, you know, use the crowd to your advantage and get off to a hot early start and let the Cardinals know, you know, they're in for a war and they're not going to come in here and steal one from us.
So, Zach, I got to ask you a couple non-football questions. First of all, you mentioned COVID, and I know, you know, your businesses, like every, not just here, but, you know, around the world. And it was a challenge. How are you there right now? And then also, I know you were a good, you know, football player at Florida for Steve Spurrier, a good NFL player, but I think the athlete of the family is Zoe Piller. We can both agree on this. How's she doing? Mm-hmm. She's going to be playing at Western Florida this year, right?
Yeah, she's at West Florida in Pensacola. It's a D2 school, and she came off she tore her ACL and meniscus her sophomore year, but, you know, like her dad, Dr. Elrod, did surgery for her, and she's recovered, and she's down there doing good and adjusting to college. And as far as our bars, their neighbors, Germantown, which is a great sports bar, you know, COVID was an adjustment. You know, we were limited to capacity and times. We followed all the rules, masked up, and, you know, we had also gotten hit by the tornado. We have one in Sylvan Park that was shut down for a long time, and, you know, we were, my wife did an incredible job of, we paid all our employees throughout. We did whatever it took, and it's been hard. It's been super hard, but all we do is look forward. We don't look back, and we're going to do the best we can.
Well, Zach, we appreciate you taking time to join us here today on the show, providing your perspective, and thanks so much. Hope to talk to you again soon down the road.
Hey, thanks for having me. I want to say hello to my little man in second grade heading to school right now, Axel. I hope he's learned his spelling words.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Very nicely Love done. It. I like that. Appreciate you so much, Zach.
All right, thanks, you man. Guys. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
You as well. Former Titan Zach Piller on the line with us there as our guest, Robbie and Rex Road. Great stuff from Zach Piller there. So we'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Zach had to say there on that front. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Attention, men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, if you have, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew joins me to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys, that's right. If you're out there struggling with ED, frustrated in the bedroom, you need to know about Hillside Medical Clinic and our WAVE technology. This is clinically proven to open up and regrow blood vessels and improve circulation enough that we can get rid of the ED finally. No pills, no injections, and no surgery.
This sounds like a game changer in the bedroom. What kinds of clinical studies have been done on this, Andrew?
Well, if you go to hillsidemedicalclinic.com, you can read almost 50 clinical studies now backing our technology, including from Cambridge University. Most people have heard of them. They vetted this. It was proven to be safe, effective, and it's even been called the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction.
And I hear you have a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
We certainly do. If you want to improve performance in the bedroom, get the intimacy back, guys. Call us now. We're running a special. The initial assessment exam and blood flow ultrasound will be free, and you get a gift. You'll love this. It produces immediate results in the bedroom. $500 in value. We're doing it free to those that call now.
Andrew, appreciate you so much. And you heard it, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer. 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. You can visit our brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Volunteer State Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Thanks to Zach Piller for joining us in the last segment. I like me some Zach Piller. That guy can talk some football. I like that.
Yeah, and like I've said, you know, I brought up Zoe, who was a great player for Nolensville High School. Great player. A fiery, athletic post. But if you can get Zach Piller, if you can be in an arena with Zach Piller watching one of his kids play sports, well worth your time.
I would say so. That
good,
hurts
good stories. Good times.
That's right.
And, you know, as he mentioned, little Axel.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Axel, as he grows up, it's like it might be like just a ticket. You buy tickets to Nolensville, and I'm being a booster for Nolensville Athletics right now, but just to watch Axel play.
Well,
so Zach will be there.
That's right.
And it'll be fun.
Big day with the spelling test, too. I remember those days. I look forward to spelling test day. I was good at the spelling test.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was awful.
It was a strength of mine.
Yeah, I was pretty good, too. I was very disappointed that Brennan doesn't know the difference between your and try to talk trash in the fantasy football. So apparently I failed as a father, but I could spell pretty well.
You did very well.
Ultimately, like, it's really about yourself, isn't it, in this world? Like,
yeah. Correct.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Cares about other people.
That's right. Joe, we discussed it earlier in the show, the Titans injury report coming out yesterday, and David Long on the injury report for the hamstring injury, a limited participant. Chris Jackson as well, a limited participant with a hamstring injury. And A.J. Brown on the injury report as well with a knee injury. He did not participate in practice yesterday. And obviously, that had some Titans fans a little uneasy when you think about A.J. Brown having surgery on his knees in the offseason. Obviously, he played through some knee injuries last year. Played very well, mind you, through some knee injuries last year, but this has become a consistent talking point with A.J. Brown, and here we are a few days before their Week 1 matchup against Arizona, and A.J. Brown once again is on the injury report with a knee injury. I guess if you're a Titans fan, and we'll take this kind of from two different areas, let's start with the short term. Is this a concern at all to you if you're a Titans fan in the short term in terms of what this could mean for this team this season? With A.J. Brown once again on the injury report.
Well, get back to me this afternoon on that. I would expect him to be back in the practice mix today. I think if he misses both of the key practices in preparation for the Cardinals, Wednesday and Thursday, I mean, that's not good. Now, if he's back today, And the other piece of information we have this week is that he looked great Monday in the viewing period, which is the beginning of practice. I mean, it was, I think, like the first two periods, you know, some individual drills, but still out there running great, nothing on either knee, all that stuff. So if he's back today, then I think you can look at yesterday like I think it is, which is let's start like right now. You got to plan long term and a little bit less wear and tear on a weekly basis for the knee is a good idea. If he's not out there today, then I think you can go ahead and just smash that panic button. Smash it. I mean, just imagine the panic. I mean, just imagine Jared today. 4 hours of just hammering it.
Well, maybe so. We'll see what happens.
But I mean, look, it's not good if he's not out there today. I think he will be.
I would be concerned if he's not. And to that point, that kind of leads me to the long-term view of this because, you know, A.J. Brown, obviously, he's a very important player for the Titans, not only right now, but as they continue to move forward. He's 24. So you're talking about a 24-year-old kid that has been extremely productive in his first 2 years in the league. At some point in the not-too-distant future, A.J. Brown's going to get a new contract, and A.J. Brown's going to make a lot of money. What you don't want to have happen if you're the Titans is A.J. Brown makes a lot of money, gets here with the Titans, and a year into that deal, A.J. Brown's not the same player because he's had knee problems. That's what, if you're John Robinson and the Titans, you cannot afford to have happen because that's bad news if it comes down to that. So how concerned are you long-term, even at the age of 24, that the knee continues to crop up and be somewhat of an issue for A.J. Brown, even though, to his credit, he got on the field last year and played really well.
Yeah, it has to be some concern. I also would say with a conversation like this, when you don't know the specifics, there can be such a wide range with a knee thing. I mean, it seemed to me like the surgery, and I guess it was both knees, right?
Yeah.
That's what he said in the video in the hospital. I mean, it seemed to me more like scopes. So cleaning out some stuff, which, like, that doesn't necessarily have to be a big deal. I mean, you know, if you have to have, like, microfracture surgery or something, then that is a massive deal.
Oh, yeah.
And the ACL is less of a big deal now, and it's not that. You know, the shape of the meniscus, I mean, I'm being like Dr. Nick Riviera here now, you know, on the internet. But I do know that like there's a huge range of what it could be. And if it was just scopes and it's just sort of that kind of thing too, like maybe he could use a scope, he'll probably have to get it scoped again at the end of the year. That's not a huge deal. Now you get the word degenerative out there, and I'm not applying that to this situation. I'm just saying like there's a wide range.
Yeah.
So I can't say there's no concern. I don't think it's great that he had the surgeries and then the first few days of camp, he was out there doing everything, and he looked awesome. He looked unstoppable. And then he wasn't out there much. And I didn't expect him to be out there much in the preseason games, but even practice. That tells you it was more than just, okay, let's take some time, let's maintenance. Like Vrabel gives everybody some days off. But this was not that. This was more than that. And that's not great. So how does it affect this year? We'll see. Again, I think today helps tell that story. Long term, I mean, it still could just be, okay, another scope, and then all of a sudden you don't have problems ever again. That's possible.
Wouldn't it be nice, though, to see what he can do as, like, a fully healthy player? Like,
right?
Obviously, we saw it his rookie year. He was healthy. But it's his rookie year. He was really good, but, I mean, he's improved pretty dramatically since then. I mean, I watched A.J. Brown last year carry half of the roster of Baltimore into the end zone on two hurt knees.
Exactly.
I would really like to see what A.J. Brown can do when he's fully healthy. I mean, that would be, if I'm a Titans fan, something that I'd really want to see this year. And if he can get to a point where he's fully healthy and look like he looked at the beginning of training camp, to me, that's very good news if you're the Tennessee Titans. And I would love to see that.
Well, exactly. No, I mean, and the thing is, it's funny because last year it was clear there was a knee thing in camp, but then during the season, I actually thought it was a foot or ankle too. I think that was in there somewhere.
Yep.
So throw that on top of whatever was going on with the knees, and he's still out there killing people. I mean, yeah, you hope to see him healthy. And again, if there's certainty that like this is not a big deal or a thing that's going to sort of plague his career long term, he's going to get paid and then some.
Yeah.
And the Titans have got to keep him.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a big year on that front, too, along with everything else going on.
Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Saturday, you win a prize pack and a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. You'll have your chance to participate tomorrow morning at 9:45 here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll continue to look ahead to week one for the Titans against the Arizona Cardinals, including a couple of big question marks for both teams. We'll get to more of that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Save cash with a purchase of a $10 gift card for Retro Snow for only $5. Nashville's original shaved ice truck, bringing back snowballs with creativity and pure cane sugar, dreaming up new flavor combinations and adding fresh, delicious toppings is what makes us Retro Snow and Nashville's original shaved ice truck. Go to visit their first ever permanent location in the nation's at 806 51st Avenue North, open Friday 4 to 7 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 2 to 7 p.m. Check out Retro Snow's truck schedule at RetroSnowTruck.com. Other deals include half off a $50 gift card for Fat Cat Slims and half off a $25 gift card for Joyland in East Nashville. Get your deal now while they last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Looking ahead to the game coming up on Sunday between the Titans and the Cardinals. And Joe, a couple of big question marks, I think, for both teams entering into this game. And we'll start with the Titans. And we brought it up a little bit yesterday, but that is the position battle at right tackle. We don't know exactly how that's going to play out at this point for the Titans. Going to be interesting to see who is starting at right tackle for the Titans once they run out of the tunnel on Sunday against Arizona. But I think you feel okay, at least, about the rotation and maybe the depth that they have at the tackle position based on what guys like Sombrilo and Quesenberry did last year for the Titans and Kendall Lamb coming in as well. I guess if you had to rate it 1 through 10, What is your concern level about the right tackle spot for the Titans as they enter into this season, knowing that they spent a second-round pick to address that spot? That's not happened up until this point, and it's basically down to those three guys I just mentioned.
It's I wouldn't call it high, but I wouldn't call the comfort level high either. I mean, I think it's sort of – I think the good thing is you do have options, and – I really thought Tyson Brailoe – oh, by the way, before I go any further, we need to have an intervention with Nashville media.
We're struggling to say some Brailoe.
I mean, Glennon and a bunch of people keep saying some Brailoe. It's – I mean, like the Titans have the pronunciation spelled out for you. It's Tyson Brailoe, even though it's AI.
Yeah.
This is how
– we're right.
Yes, we're right. So just please, Nashville media, let's not make this another Mariota, okay? I feel like – Nashville media got pretty good at Mariota.
Oh yeah,
you know we still have some issues with like UC Saros, you know.
Bringing Bradford,
but yeah, Tyson Brailoe was pretty good last year at left tackle. In Taylor Lewan's in the wake of the injury, and then David Quessenberry was pretty good in place of some Brailoe after his injury, and that's at left tackle. And then you, Kendall Lamb has been a serviceable, mostly a backup, but
soft
serviceable
hands.
Player. He can catch the ball. So I guess like you feel good about, you have some depth, you have options, you can switch out. And it, I mean, that's the thing, is Vrabel is kind of hinting at, I don't know about like experimenting or rotating, but certainly he's not committing to anyone as the starting right tackle right now. It's one of those things where if you could combine the strengths of the three, you'd probably have a heck of a tackle, you know. But are you going to find a clear winner in that race and someone you feel good about to complete the line, which otherwise I think is really good? And also, by the way, we've been talking about right tackle and three different people, and one of them is not the second-round pick drafted to be the right tackle. But that's on the back burner. You know, now it's who on Sunday can go out there and play well for you. I will say that just with Sombrilo and Quessenberry in particular, what they did in a pinch last year makes me think they can be okay.
Yeah. I think there's reasons for optimism. Like, I don't look at this situation at right tackle coming into this game and thinking to myself, oh boy, the Titans got a big problem at right tackle. Like, I don't view it that way. Now, am I as comfortable with those guys as I was with a Dennis Kelly at right tackle? I don't know that I'm willing to go there yet. I thought Dennis Kelly did a nice job at right tackle. Obviously, I mean, we're very far away from Jack Conklin. Jack Conklin was in a class of his own when it comes to this discussion. But, you know, I don't think that David Quessenberry starting at right tackle is going to derail this Titans offensive line. I still think this has a chance. If you can maintain a certain degree of health, I think this has a chance to be a pretty good Titans offensive line. So, you know, I would say on my concern level, it's about a 3. I'm not overly that concerned about it. But what starts to become a problem is if you start to get some injuries and you've got to shuffle some guys around, and heaven forbid, you know, Taylor Lewan goes down again, you got to move somebody else to left tackle, then that's where you really got a problem.
Well,
so,
yeah,
well and that's of course. But I'm just saying, like, from a depth perspective, I don't feel great about the depth on the interior of the offensive line. And if somebody in that starting five gets hurt and you start to have to shuffle some people around, that's when I start to get concerned about this group. And it's the NFL. It's the offensive line. People get hurt all the time. At some point this year, something's going to happen on that offensive line, and I'm interested to see how much depth they've truly got at that spot.
Yeah, and then in this matchup, you know, I mean, it's not – I mean, there are better matchups to have for an offensive line still kind of figuring out one of its tackle spots than this one.
Yeah.
Because as we talked about earlier in the show, I mean, J.J. Watt, he's not to me worth what they paid him, but I bet you notice him on Sunday. And Chandler Jones, I mean, that's a really appealing older, but appealing, or, you know, older slashed coming off an injury, but still potentially explosive duo rushing the passer. And it's an interesting kind of matchup thing because the Titans have to be concerned about that, and the Cards have to hope that that really is a big benefit to them, because the Cards have to be concerned about their corners and the Titans receivers.
Well, and to that point, you have no Malcolm Butler coming on Sunday. Byron Murphy Jr., Robert Alford listed as the starting corners on the Arizona depth chart. So, you know, that's something if you're the Titans and your offensive line can hold up. I mean, I think you feel, to a certain degree, pretty good about A.J. Brown, Julio Jones against anybody. Doesn't matter who the cornerback is. But I think you really feel good about this matchup, that you're able to move the ball. And two, like, if you know that, if you're Arizona coming into this game, like, how do you play against the Titans? That goes back to the discussion we were having the other day. Like, what's your game plan against this Titans offense? Because obviously, you know, and J.J. Watt's had a front row seat for Derrick Henry running all over the Houston Texans. You know what he can do. How do you go about defending this Titans offense if you're Arizona's defense, knowing that those corners, if you leave them on an island with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, that could end up working out very poorly for you in this game.
Right. You have a great safety in Buda Baker, but, yeah, how do you play it? And I look at Arizona. I mean, actually, I like what they've done here in trying to build a 2020s defense in the NFL. I mean, I think Zaven Collins is a really good player for Tulsa. You know, Isaiah Simmons, they've got good speed at linebacker. We saw what that can do, you know, for the Bucs, right? I mean, people probably focus less on, like, inside linebackers than anything anymore.
Yep.
But when you have guys who can run, who can cover, who can blitz, who can do different things, and you can be flexible because of that, I think that's great in the NFL. But then you look at the Titans, and how does that front, you know, deal with the hammer coming at it all day too? So you have that. Like, do you have to just devote extra safety attention to the box because you aren't really built? But, I mean, who is built anymore to deal with a run-based offense in the NFL? You know, not many teams. But this one in particular, this is, a fast defense. Could be a pretty good defense. But what do they do? What do they need to do to not get run all over? And then how much are they willing to let those corners be on islands because of that? I mean, I don't like them. I don't like them in this matchup defensively. But, like, they have some good players, but this is going to be the thing every week. Like, every defense on the Titans schedule, even the really, really good ones, still have to make choices that aren't comfortable.
Well, and to your point about inside linebacker, I mean, you've made a couple of moves there to address that spot. If you're Arizona the last couple of years, Isaiah Simmons, obviously Zaven Collins, who you brought up as well. So you're young in that area too. And we've seen it here with the Titans. Like, sometimes, you know, the physical talent that you bring to the table is one thing, but recognizing coverages, where you're supposed to be, playing at that speed without having to think a lot, that can be difficult to do early in the NFL. And if you're the Titans, it's a pretty good offense to try to take advantage of that if you're Todd Downing in week one.
Yeah. I mean, it still, like, in this league, all the jargon and the different systems and stuff, it really is like, what individual matchup benefits us?
Yep.
How can we get to this matchup? And the Titans have a few choices here that have got to look pretty good to them. And again, it is a different – I mean, there's a thing with the season opener where you have some players – and Mike Vrabel talked about this yesterday. You know, you've got to go off, like, individual film on some guys and tendencies from college, or, you know, maybe guys who weren't with this defense but were veterans. You know, I mean, like, obviously the Titans know J.J. Watt. But they still haven't seen this defense collectively together, just like the Cards haven't seen the Titans defense in this exact form. But, I mean, you on an individual basis – there are some mismatches here in the Titans' favor.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jim texting in, are you aware of any offensive lineman worth picking up that J-Rob could snag after the first week of the season? So we've had a lot of people ask us about this. With moving around some money for Julio Jones, does that mean the Titans are about to make a move after week one and bring somebody in? I guess, I mean, my answer to that is I don't know. We'll see what happens on that front. But is there anybody out there that you think could be worth snagging up if you're the Titans, if you're John Robinson after week one? Because at this point, it's not happening for this week.
Right. And we went through yesterday some of the possibilities if you want to talk about, you know, offensive linemen. You got maybe Mitchell Schwartz has been a good player. Injuries, 32 years old. He's out of Kansas City. Russell Okung, you know, same thing, 32 years old. I mean, you got a guy who played for your squad. Rick Wagner's out there. So there's some David DeCastro, you know, was a good player. These people are all in their 30s. And, look, I'm not saying that one of them couldn't be an upgrade, but I don't know if it's – I don't know if there's any great options there.
Doesn't it kind of make the Dennis Kelly move, which we were a little bit skeptical about at the time, doesn't that still seem kind of weird? Like, seems like Dennis Kelly could really help this team right now.
Yeah, I think he did. He was another one of those guys last year who missed a fair amount of practice and got increasingly banged up during the year. So I don't know if it's a matter of they just weren't sure about his health holding up. But, yeah, I mean, I thought Dennis Kelly was pretty good. He was a heck of a swing tackle for yes. those years when they still had Conklin. Like, that's exactly what you want. Heck of a trade. But I kind of get it. It's just, you know, the question is, are you going to be better or comparable with a Sombrello, a Quessenberry, maybe a Lamb? I don't know. Like, Lamb, it's hard to know with him, too, because, I mean, he missed some time in camp. And, gosh, he's got that massive elbow brace with a really just hard injury to even look at, yeah. you know, from the playoffs. So, but, yeah, I hear you. It seems like Dennis Kelly would give you a little more certainty at that spot. And then they draft to it, and that right now is not materializing as any kind of help.
When we come back, it's time for the best and worst thing in sports for this week. We'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Oh, yeah, that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Time for the best thing in sports and the worst thing in sports for this week. We'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexrow, would you like to begin this week? And we'll begin, as we always do, with the best thing in sports. What is the best thing in sports this week, according to Joe Rexroad?
I will start. And there's one that I think you guys will grab, so I'm going to be a little bit...
Okay. Team player?
Well, yeah, I had a little bit different one. And this was within the week, right? If not, whatever. It hasn't been a best thing. It's close enough.
Okay.
The Olympics having NHL players is my best
okay.
thing.
Okay, yeah, that's
counts. Within the week.
That's within the
right?
week.
Right? Yeah. Yes. Old brain. I think it's just we've talked about it, and it looked a little shaky for a while. It means so much. I've heard David Poile and other executives in hockey kind of question what is the tangible value. I think it's extremely high. I think the value for the sport, for eyeballs on the sport, for getting people talking, getting people excited about these rosters and these teams, I think it's fantastically helpful to the sport. I think it's huge for the sport, and I'm excited about it. And as a secondary part of that, John Hines getting to be an assistant.
Yeah.
Big deal for him. Congratulations to him. I do wonder, we don't have time to get into this right now, but I do wonder, like, Preds fans, do you, when you see that John Hines gets an honor like that, does that, you know, give you any sort of better feeling about John Hines?
That's an interesting question, because I saw some of the Twitter replies when he was named as the assistant coach.
Of course.
And Twitter's a wonderful place.
There's always going to be Twitter replies.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, like, here's a, I don't know, like, like, Mother Teresa's here. Oh, God. She's the worst. Yes. I mean, yeah. Twitter. Twitter's going to Twitter.
That's what we've learned so far. That's a good one. I like that one. Well done, Joe Rexroad. Michelle Knezovic, your best thing this week in the world of sports.
Okay, so other than NFL, I feel like we've done, you know, like college football, the best thing, NFL, the best thing. Obviously, football's here. It's the best thing. But I don't know if anybody's been watching Hard Knocks lately. There was this really funny clip that just made me smile from ear to ear. I'm going to play a little sound from it. So it's Trayvon Diggs' son, Aiden.
It's awesome.
And I'm going to play it right now. Let's see. I just thought that was absolutely hilarious because in the beginning of the clip, he's talking about Dak Prescott's my favorite quarterback. Oh, yeah. I'm training for Dak Prescott. This kid's probably 4 years old. And then he comes through the door and he's like, hey, you're Patrick Mahomes. I just thought that was great. That was golden content.
Well, the best part That's is like stuff. Two times in a row, Dak Prescott, it's good to see you.
Yeah, yeah.
How
yeah.
are you?
Yeah. That's outstanding. You know, I'm out on Hard Knocks, which is kind of sad.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that actually made me think, you know, might be all right, worth checking out again.
Go HBO Max, buy it.
That's right.
Just the show has it used to be way better. But anyway, another thing we don't have time
Every
to
time he completes
debate.
A pass tonight, there's going to be somebody that tweets out, like, Dak Prescott, it's good to see you.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. That really was, looking forward to that tonight.
That was great.
That is my best thing in sports for tonight, the NFL being back. But more specifically, Tom Brady is back. And I don't know if you saw this last week, but it came out as a clip, and I think it was Gronk was a part of this, and Brady was a part of this as well on the Bucs website. They were doing an interview. And Brady talked about like the league and how it's changed and how he feels like defensive players are getting punished for offensive players' mistakes now.
It was very good.
I thought it was really good. Like, it was a pretty good indicator of the way the league has changed, throwing penalty flags and calling. You know, we talked a lot about targeting this week and how sometimes the offensive player can be the one that makes the mistake, but just because it ends up in them getting hit really hard, that gets taken out on the defensive players. It's good stuff from Tom Brady.
That was really good. Yeah, sort of the idea, like, quarterbacks used to have to, like, you really, like, you have to think about protecting your players.
Right.
And obviously that helps balance things out between the offense and defense. And now it's just like, either they're not going to, I mean, you still have to think that way as quarterback. You can't throw guys in a crossing pattern, you know, but now, either they're not going to hit him or you know it's going to be big trouble.
Well, and he talked about even it creating bad habits with offensive players because they know if they get hit that way, it's going to be a penalty. So they just don't slide or they do whatever they want to do and they think they can get away with it.
Yeah.
So
that was very good.
Interesting stuff from the
GOAT.
Tom Brady there.
Whatever he touches turns to gold,
That's
man.
That's right. Joe Rexroad, your worst thing in sports for the week.
This could be a whole rant. I'll try to keep it short. Charles Robinson, everybody knows, you know, I went to college with Charles Robinson. I'm good friends with him, like Charles Robinson, Jemele Hill. I got some people who I'm always going to be in their corner no matter what, and Charles is one of them. And he shouldn't have to be defended on anything, but, like, the amount of hatred he's gotten from the Deshaun Watson stuff, from Dolphins, to the point where he was on Pat McAfee and Rich Eisen, and, like, they got totally overwhelmed by these Dolphins fans. So my worst thing is the Dolphins fans in this situation, but also just in general, sports fans who can't, like, distinguish between some random thing thrown on the internet or a veteran reporter. I mean, Charles goes back to the 90s covering the Lions and
yes.
then covering the league as a league now for about 18 years, I think. He has sources in the league, folks. So if he writes a story that there's a trade, that the Dolphins are the front runners, are very interested in Deshaun Watson, and that there's a trade, and he even laid out the five teams that he's sourced with who are also in the sweepstakes, like, he's not making crap up. It's possible that the Dolphins aren't enamored with Tua, and even if they are, it's not crazy that you would want to trade for Deshaun Watson. The amount of crap he's taking, because normally he doesn't even get in the Twitter stuff, is just – it frustrates me, and it's like, be a smarter fan. Understand where the information is coming from, and that if it's someone who has covered the league for, like, going on two full decades, they aren't just sitting at home in mom's basement throwing crap on the internet. They are talking to executives for teams.
Very well said.
I got to stop. But anyway.
Very well said. Michelle Konezovic, your worst thing in sports for the week.
Those Miami fans sound like Bills fans.
Wow.
I had
yes.
to.
Yes.
Worst thing in sports this week. Similar to, I feel like we have a lot of, it's not even really in sports. It's more like Twitter reactions and fans and craziness. But mine came at the beginning of the week when Brian Kelly had his post-game interview. And he made the comment about the execution and everything. And
yes.
But then later in his press conference was like, guys, it was a joke. Like, did I not do like good, whatever? And I get it, people not understanding the joke and making comments. But then I felt like it was on every single network. It was like a headline for all of these sports networks. And I just feel like that's almost like clickbait of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he said this. Da, 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 da. Like, this is so awful. And he clearly says, oh, it was a joke. I was referencing the old Bucks coach in his
John
press
McKay.
Yeah, 20 minutes, even probably less than 20 minutes after his post-game interview, but then yet gets so much backlash for it for like almost 3 days probably.
Not allowed to joke in 2021 anymore.
No.
It doesn't happen. Jokes don't go over well.
So sensitive, people.
That's a good one. Now, it was dumb. Like, his
yeah,
joke
exactly.
was
like, he's not funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't
because
funny.
It's him because he's not funny.
But you're right. The outrage and then the click chasing off of it is like,
it's a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was on the list of consideration. My worst thing in sports for the week, and look, I want to start by saying I like soccer. I enjoy going to Nashville SC
games. Get that disclaimer.
I got to get all the disclaimers in there. I've not really known that much about soccer growing up and have learned quite a bit the last few years and have enjoyed watching the game. It's become something that I enjoy going to. Having said that, I thought it was horrible on Sunday night for the United States and Canada. I really did. The quality of play wasn't good. There was flopping all over the place. And it ends in a draw in an international World Cup qualifying match. Like, you got a World Cup qualifying match. Why is a draw even on the table for a World Cup qualifying match? It's so stupid. You play the game to win or you lose. You're a winner or you're a loser. I can live with a draw in an MLS season. It's a long season. You can't be playing 15 minutes extra of stoppage time all over the place. I get it. But in a World Cup qualifier match, have a winner or have a loser. And I don't care how you do it. I don't care if it's penalty kicks. Have a winner, have a loser. It drove me nuts. I felt like I wasted 2 hours of my life on Sunday night at Nissan Stadium.
You play to win the game.
Play to win the game.
That's why I hate soccer games.
One-to-one
draw.
Uh-oh.
Well, I like soccer, but it
really
bothers
me. So you hate the Bills
me.
Fans and the sport of soccer. Yep. Wow. The hate list for
I
Michelle
would
is really
lose.
Growing this week.
I would rather lose than tie.
Wow.
And I hate losing so much.
Yeah, I was telling you guys before the show, you know, if you were my age, you remember when college football had ties all the time.
So couldn't do that.
And actually, like, some of them were like also like 9-9 ties and stuff.
Again, just, there are situations. Oh, look, there's not a situation where I like a draw or a tie, but I at least understand it in regular season play because it's a long season. I do not understand it in World Cup qualifiers. Have a winner or have a loser. That's what it is. You're trying to get in the World Cup. That's my worst thing in sports.
Hashtag Rob Rant.
Yeah. That's my worst thing in sports. We'll continue to take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll get back into the Titans, get into an interesting discussion looking at the fan base as they head into week one. How excited is this Titans fan base? Is that going to translate to the atmosphere at Nissan Stadium? We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.